Matthew chapter 24 is one of the most important chapters in all the Bible in relation to the subject of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, perhaps we could even go a little further than that and say it is probably the most important chapter in all the Bible in relation to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason I say that is because the words that you have in Matthew 24 and the subject at hand being the second coming of the Lord Jesus, the words were spoken by the Savior himself. He was responding to three questions that the disciples asked him in verse 3. Verses 1 to 3 really set the scene. The Lord Jesus is leaving the temple. The disciples come to him and they want to show him the buildings of the temple, to show him the magnificence of that place. And yet, rather than being taken up with the material buildings of the temple and their grandeur, Jesus declares unto them in the words of prophecy in verse 2, there shall not be left one here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Don't be overly taken up with the grandeur or the beauty or the magnificence of the earthly building, because it's going to all be thrown down. Not one stone will be left upon another. The disciples were moved by that saying. When the Lord makes his way out of the temple and up the Mount of Olives and he sits down, it tells us that the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? There's the first question. And what shall be the sign of thy coming? That's the second question. And of the end of the world, or as it is in the original, the end of the age. So they ask the Savior three questions, and what you have from verse 24 right through to the end of chapter 25 is the Savior's response to those questions. Let me say to you before we go any further tonight, the Lord's answer to those questions is primarily for the Christian. I say that because there is a line of teaching that tells you Matthew 24 is not for the church. Matthew 24 is for the Jew. You will read Christian writers, evangelical writers who will tell you, really, the church is not seen in Matthew 24, and therefore it's only for the Jew. Nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, we would have to go to the other extreme and say, it's for the church, it's for the Christian, it's for the New Testament believer in Christ. At the end of chapter 23, look at the last two verses. The Lord says to the Jews in the temple, behold, your house is left unto you desolate, for I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. The Lord walked out of the temple. He said, your house is left unto you desolate, and you won't see me again until ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. The Lord was saying that his ministry had finished. His ministry to the Jewish nation had concluded. They had rejected him, and in a few days they would nail him to the tree. And he says, you'll see me not again until ye say, blessed is he that cometh, until you're ready to receive me. Finished with Israel as a nation. And the disciples come to him privately in verse 3. And therefore he addresses the disciples not as the representatives of the Jewish nation, but as the representatives of the New Testament church. And all that he says unto them is in relation to that. You'll see as well that Christians are in view in the Savior's reply. Verse 9 is one such reference. Then shall they deliver you up, he's speaking to the disciples, to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And he has in view those that had believed in the Son of God. And we could go further down the chapter and show you how he speaks about his elect and how he speaks about his own believing people. And so this chapter, the answer is for the believer. And from verse 4 to verse 15, the Lord Jesus states the general characteristics of this present age. I'll not take time to go down them all, but I'll simply name them. He speaks about deception. Let no man deceive you. He speaks about apostasy. Men coming in the name of Christ and saying, I am Christ. He speaks about wars and famines and earthquakes. But verses 6 and 8, he concludes, these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Some sincere believers have read these verses, and when you hear of an earthquake here or a war there, and they say, oh, it must be a sign of us coming. The Lord says, no, these are just the beginning of sorrows. When you hear of these things, wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and famines in diverse places, the end is not yet. These are the general characteristics of the age. But then in verse 15, and from verse 15 to verse 30, Jesus speaks of the days immediately prior to his second coming. He says, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. And then in verse 21, he says, for then shall be great tribulation. When you see the abomination of desolation in the holy place, then shall be great tribulation. And then verse 29, let's link it all together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened. The moon shall not give her light. The stars shall fall from heaven. The powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in clouds of heaven with power and great glory. The Lord Jesus is saying that just before he returns, in the days running up to his descent from heaven, when all the tribes of the earth shall see him, and they'll see him descend, and his holy angels with him, to gather together all the elect unto him, just before that happens, there'll be great tribulation. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the Savior will return. And that says to me, very clearly, the words of Christ, they're as plain as the nose in your face. The great tribulation occurs right at the end of the age, just immediately prior to the Savior's coming again. The great tribulation did not take place in AD 70. When the Romans destroyed the Jewish temple and the nation of Israel was scattered among the nations and ceased to be a nation until 1900 and was it 41 or thereabouts? 48, that's right. 1948, after the end of the Second World War. The great tribulation did not happen in AD 70. I remember one of the first prophetic books I ever read after I was saved in my late teenage years. I took off my father's shelf and it was entitled Four Great Prophecies. And I read the first one. It was the Great Tribulation. And after I read the first one, I didn't read any further. For this man, and you can, there's more than one writer will try and convince you of this. He spoke about the great tribulation in Matthew 24, and he tried to convince his readers that it took place in AD 70, and that Matthew 24 and the great tribulation was all fulfilled. You'll get those books in Christian bookshops. I can name you the very author if you ask me. I'll not do it publicly. Men and women, I tell you tonight, in AD 70, the sun was not darkened. The moon did not cease to give her light. And the stars did not fall from heaven, and Jesus Christ did not return to this earth. And he did not send his angels to gather from one end of heaven to the other his elect unto himself. And therefore, I can say dogmatically tonight, I can say confidently on the basis of Christ's words, the great tribulation is yet future, and it will immediately precede the second coming of the Savior. There are three main points I want to make tonight about this great tribulation that is yet to take place on this earth. I want you firstly to consider how it commences, its commencement. Let's look at verse 15 of Matthew 24. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Lord saying, you read Daniel, you read about the abomination of desolation. We want you to understand it. That's what he's saying. And then he gives a series of warnings. He says, when that happens, he says, them which be in Judea, flee to the mountains. Him which is on the housetop, don't come down to take your stuff. If you're in the field, don't turn back. Flee away, for then shall be great tribulation. It's when the abomination of desolation stands in the holy place. Let me say to you tonight, the holy place is in the temple in Jerusalem. When you see the abomination of desolation stand in the holy place, where it ought not, then shall be great tribulation. That says to me, the temple has to be rebuilt. Before the Lord returns, the temple in Jerusalem needs to be rebuilt for Daniel's prophecy to be fulfilled. When I was a young Christian, I had a very close Christian friend, and as he was reading and studying the things of prophecy, he came to certain conclusions. And he came to the conclusion that the Lord had completely finished with Israel, and he had come to the conclusion that there would be no temple rebuilt in the city of Jerusalem. And one day we were talking about it, and he challenged me. He says, you can't give one New Testament verse to say that the temple will be rebuilt before the Lord returns. And I smiled. I turned him to Matthew 24. And I said, well, there it is. When you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. The holy place is the holy place in the temple. We spoke about it this morning. It was there where the altar of incense was. It was there where the table of showbread resided, in the temple. No. He says, that's not what that's referring to at all. You need to give me another verse. I say, well, what about 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 4? The man of sin, he shall sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. No. That doesn't refer to the temple in Jerusalem. That's referring to something else. You would need to give me another verse. I said, well, what about Revelation chapter 11? Verse 1 and 2, where the Lord said to the apostle John, measure the temple. No. He said, that doesn't refer to the temple in Jerusalem either. And my response was, well, the threefold cord is not easily broken. And if you want to do away with three very clear verses of Scripture that say to me, the temple will be rebuilt in Jerusalem before the Lord returns, that's between you and the Lord. But I believe there's a threefold cord in the New Testament that I have given you that gives us every faith and every assurance that the temple will be rebuilt there in the city of Jerusalem. The temple of the Jews will be rebuilt before the Lord returns. And something's going to happen there. The abomination of desolation is going to be placed in the holy place. What is that abomination of desolation? Jesus said, him that readeth, let him understand. Well, Daniel mentioned it three times. You turn back to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. And this is the first place in Daniel's prophecy where the abomination of desolation is mentioned. It's in verse 27. I feel I need to give a little explanation of Daniel's prophecy in these verses. From verse 24, Daniel is giving a prophecy. It's known as the prophecy of the 70 weeks. Just look at verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. And upon the holy city, that's Jerusalem, to finish the transgression. And at the end of these 70 weeks, everlasting righteousness is established. The word weeks there is the Hebrew word shebaim. And it means 77s. They're sometimes called heptads, and it simply means a period of 77s. We would talk about a week of days, 1 week. But the Jews also talked about a week of years. And that's what Daniel is referring to. 70 weeks of years is determined upon the holy city and upon thy people, that is the Jews, to finish the transgression and make an end of sins and make a reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness. Now, if you come down the portion, you will discover there in verse 25, that period started when the decree was given to Nehemiah to rebuild the city of Jerusalem after the 70 years of captivity. He said in verse 25, "Know therefore and understand, that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem under the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself." Let me explain what Daniel is saying. He is saying that after 7 weeks, the city was finished. The rebuilding of the city in the days from Nehemiah, that was after 7 weeks or 49 years. And then in verse 26, we read of another period of those weeks. After 62 weeks, that is 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off. That's Jesus Christ and his death. So 7 and 62 brings you to 69. And 69 of those weeks, those prophetic weeks, were fulfilled at the death of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was cut off and when he died. But then we read in verse 27, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. For the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate." And Daniel identifies one more week when the oblation and the offering will cease, and when the abomination of desolation is spoken of. And Jesus stated that final week would be fulfilled not until the end of the age. He said, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, then shall be great tribulation. And then, after that great tribulation, the Son of God will return. And Daniel goes a little further, because Daniel shows us exactly what will happen during that week. He tells us about a prince that shall come. Let's read from verse 26. After 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And then he says, the prince, the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. That brings you to AD 70. There's a prince that will arise, and the people of those nations from where that prince would arise would destroy the city and the sanctuary. That happened in AD 70 when the temple and the city was overthrown and Israel was scattered. And then in verse 27, we read that he, that is the prince that shall come, he will confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, that final week. An earthly ruler, an earthly prince who would arise from among the people who destroyed the temple. It was the Romans who destroyed the temple, and from the old Roman Empire that will be revived. An earthly leader will come who will enter into covenant with the Israelites for 1 week. But in the midst of that week, he shall break the covenant. He will cause their sacrifices to cease. And then he will set up the abomination of desolation in the holy place. I tell you, Daniel's 70th week is yet to be fulfilled. I don't care what any preacher says, I don't care what any theologian says, I don't care what any commentator says, Jesus said, Daniel's 70th week is still to be fulfilled, and it will be fulfilled at the end of the age. When that final world leader of the Gentiles will place his abomination of desolation in the holy place. What is that abomination of desolation? Well, the word abomination in the Hebrew tongue or language refers to an idol. Let me give you one reference to prove that. It's Deuteronomy chapter 29 and the verse 17. And you will see in that verse that Deuteronomy 29 and the verse 17, ye have seen their abominations. It's the same Hebrew word. And their idols and wood and stone and silver and gold which were among them. And there's just one example in Deuteronomy 29 and 17 of where that Hebrew word is used to speak about an idol or an image that man would have bowed down to and worshipped. And that final world leader from among the old Roman Empire that will be revived before the Lord returns, he will enter in to the holy place and he will set up that idol and that image that destroys. And he will demand that it will be worshipped. Who is that leader, that ruler, that prince that shall come? He is none other than the final Antichrist. We'll have more to say about that man of sin next week. But in Revelation chapter 13, verse 14 and 15, John prophesied of him. And he said in verse 14 and verse 15 that this man of sin, this Antichrist, this beast, he said he deceiveth them that dwell in the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell in the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and should live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Daniel foresaw it. John foresaw it. Jesus prophesied of it. And when that abomination of desolation is mentioned in Daniel 9 and 27, it's mentioned again in Daniel 11 and 31 and in Daniel 12 and verse 11, and for the sake of time we'll not turn to them, but in each occasion it refers to a time when the sacrifice and the oblation will cease. And that idol will be placed. And it will be the image of a man, and it will be demanded upon the for the inhabitants of the earth to worship that image and worship that man. And Jesus said, when ye see that idol or that image stand in the holy place where it ought not, then shall be great tribulation. The great tribulation will begin. Turn back to Matthew chapter 24. The second point we want to make about this great tribulation is not only the time of its commencement, but we want to mention some of its characteristics. What will that time be like? Well, the word tribulation that the Lord Jesus used in verse 21 of Matthew 24, then shall be great tribulation. And again in verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the word itself refers to and means affliction, persecution, or trouble. And in verse 21, you will see the extent of that trouble, that persecution, and that affliction. It is unparalleled. Since the world began, there's been no other time like it. Then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be. Do you see what the Lord Jesus is saying? It will be a time of affliction, a time of persecution, a time of trouble, and none has ever been like it before. We have watched the scenes from Syria over the past number of years, and beheld cities destroyed, people besieged, deaths at great levels, and yet the Lord says this tribulation that will yet take place. No time has ever been like it or ever will be like it. That's another reason why we can say the Great Tribulation did not take place in AD 70. For while the siege of Jerusalem was grievous and terrible at that time, amounting to the deaths of hundreds of thousands of Jews at the hands of the Romans, yet, we have to say it has not been the worst time of trouble the world has ever known, and yet the Lord declares that this tribulation that will yet take place will be a time of trouble that the world has never seen before. And again, Daniel confirmed it. If you turn back to Daniel chapter 12 and the verse 1, Daniel mentioned this time. Daniel 12 and verse 1, he says, at that time. And he's following on from Daniel 11. Oh, we don't have time to go into Daniel 11 tonight, but it speaks about the Antichrist, and he shall plant in verse 45 of Daniel 11, the tabernacles of his palace between the seas, that's the Dead Sea and the Great Sea of the Mediterranean, in the glorious holy mountain, that's the mountain there at Jerusalem. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. It's talking about the times of the final Antichrist, Daniel 11. And then he says in chapter 12, at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble in the days of that final Antichrist. There shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered. And Daniel's confirming exactly what the Lord said. The Lord is reiterating the words of Daniel. This tribulation that shall take place just before the Savior returns, it will be a time like never has been known on this earth. Or ever shall be. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1 shows that it will be a time of trouble for the Jews. It will affect the Jewish nation. Do you see it? There shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered. Daniel was off tribes of Israel. The Lord is saying that it will affect the Jews in Israel. Isn't that what the Savior confirmed in Matthew 24 when he's speaking of the great tribulation? He said in verse 16, "Then let them which shall be in Judea flee to the mountains." It will affect the Jewish nation, and that's why it's called in Jeremiah 30, verse 7, the time of Jacob's trouble, when that final earthly, worldly leader who will dominate world affairs in the old Roman Empire revived, he will seek to destroy the Jewish nation. Wipe them off the face of the earth. I wish I had more time tonight. Zechariah chapter 14 in the verse 2 tells us that he will send his armies even to the very place of Jerusalem. "For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and the half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from among the city." It's the same time. It's the same event. In Zechariah 14, verse 1, "The day of the Lord cometh." That's the context when Jerusalem, all nations shall be gathered against them to battle. That's the time of the great tribulation. Jacob's trouble, just before the Lord returns. What a time of trouble it will be for the Jewish nation. A time like nothing else before it, when the man of sin will seek to destroy the nation of Israel from off the face of this earth. But let me go a little further. This time of trouble will not only be so severe and will be severe to the Jewish nation and the nation of Israel, it will affect the children of God too. Christians will know that affliction and that persecution and that trouble. Let me give you two references. I know we've been going back and forward in the Scriptures, but try and follow them. It will help you. Daniel 7, verse 21 and 22. We read there about the saints of the Lord. Daniel 7, 21 and 22. "I beheld in the same horn," we'll say a little more about this next week, but Daniel's little horn, Paul's man of sin, and John's beast. Commentators agree they all refer to the same person, the Antichrist. I believe it's the final Antichrist. It says the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came. The Ancient of Days is Christ. And the horn, the Antichrist, he makes war with the saints. Revelation 13, 7 and 8 is the New Testament confirmation of the same truth, and that the same people will come under persecution from that man of sin. "And it was given unto him to make war with the saints." Who are the saints of God? The New Testament reveals that every believer in Christ is a saint of God. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of a saint. And you read of Paul writing to the saints at Colossae or the saints at Ephesus, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. And so during that time of great tribulation, the people of God, those who want to be true to Christ, those who want to be faithful to the Savior, proclaim the gospel, be true to Him, and reject the wicked, sinful ways, at the end of this age, they'll come under persecution. Days of persecution are not yet over. We read about them during Reformation times, and how those that were true to Christ and His doctrine, they were tortured, they were persecuted, they were put to death. And there will come a time when being a Christian may well cost you your life during that time of great tribulation. And Revelation 20 verse 4 tells us that there will be those during that time whom the beast will make war with, and they will lose their lives because they were faithful to Christ. What a time of trouble it's going to be. I want you to turn back to Matthew 24 as we close. We've considered how the great tribulation will commence. We have considered the characteristics of that tribulation. It will be a time of affliction, persecution, and trouble such as was never seen before. It will involve and include the Jewish nation in the land of Israel, and it will affect those who are true saints of God, believing people on this earth. I want to simply close tonight by showing you how that great tribulation will conclude. Its conclusion. Look at verse 22 of Matthew chapter 24. Except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. Do you ever just think about what the Savior is saying? If those days were not shortened, no flesh, no man would survive. That's what Jesus is saying. Except they were shortened, no flesh would be saved. And he says, yet, for the elect's sake, there'd be elect believing people of God in the tribulation. We should have gathered that by now, given the fact that believers will be persecuted during the church or during the tribulation period. That says to me, the church will go through the tribulation. I'll say a little bit more about that in the weeks to come. Church will not be whisked away. The church will not be raptured up to heaven and people wonder where everybody has gone. Oh, Jesus said there'll be elect who will go through the tribulation. And the saints will face persecution through the tribulation. He says, except for them. Those days would not be shortened. But he says, I'll shorten them. For the elect's sake. And you will notice from verse 29 and 30 how those days will end. They won't end with a peace treaty. They won't end with a third party intervening between the man of sin and Israel. Won't end with some earthly peace pact. No, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the Lord will just snuff out the light of the sun. And the moon won't give its light because the sun will be darkened. And the stars shall fall from heaven. Now you think of that. What it will be like for the stars to fall from heaven. And the powers of the heaven, the universal powers, what we would term outer space, the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man. And there's darkness, for the sun has been darkened. And you know, that's why the Bible says every eye will see him. There'll be darkness, for the sun will be snuffed out. And then the light of the world will appear. And he'll begin his descent. And he'll light up the heavens and the universe. And he'll descend with all his holy angels with him, and the trumpet will sound, and the angels will gather his elect people unto himself. And at that point, the dead in Christ shall rise. And I don't want to give too much away from next week, but at that point, that great final world leader will be destroyed by the brightness of his coming. And the tribes of the earth shall mourn. And Jesus shall reign gloriously. That's how the tribulation will end. With the visible, personal, literal descent of Jesus Christ to this earth to gather his loved ones home. And I tell you, we'll sing in that day, there'll be no dark valley. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more weeping when Jesus comes to gather his loved ones home. There'll be songs of victory. Hallelujah. When Jesus shall have the victory. and will be gathered with him, and all his enemies will be put down. Praise his name. There'll be songs of victory when Jesus comes. Are you saved? Are you on the side of Christ? Will you be with him in that great day? Will you descend with him, or will you rise to meet him? Will you be with Jesus? I'll be there. I trust you'll be there too, because if you're not, then it's judgment. And it's doom. You'll be sent away to hell with the beast and the false prophet and the devil and all his angels. But when Jesus comes for his people, it will be victory. And he'll put an end to all the trouble and all the tribulation that his people and his chosen nation will have to endure.